Hello and welcome. It's our number two, of the Ben Maller radio program. It's all about Aaron Rodgers. Relax. Aaron Rodgers believes the Packers broke a promise to trade him. The Packers are saying that ain't true. We investigate who is telling the truth and who is not telling the truth. A Maller Show investigation right now in hour number two. Tales of Cheese. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. Here we are together in the air everywhere as we speak in circles and squares, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR. Emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing marginal sports talk radio all night long here from the comforts of the Fox Sports Radio studios. And we thank you for spending some time with us. So our lead this hour coming from an old reliable, Aaron Rodgers, relax. Some new dirt has been tossed out in the young and the restless melodrama out of northern Wisconsin. And this is another one of those stories we are closely monitoring. We like to play the hits here. It's top 40 radio. We play the hits. So Aaron Rodgers, if you have not heard, and maybe you missed it, we are hearing now that the Packers are saying, no, it's not true. They're pushing back against reports that have come out over the last couple weeks that claim that Aaron Rodgers was under the impression that Green Bay had agreed to trade his ass this offseason. Now, Trey Wingo made the accusation. Others have piggybacked on the initial accusation that Rodgers was told point blank, you're going to be traded. Now, Rodgers is upset because the pack did the old switcheroo. And he's not happy about that. He's angry. How dare you do the switcheroo? I'm Aaron Rodgers. You can't do the old switcheroo on me. Now, there are some Packer moles. We're not sure who because they didn't put their name on it. But they told Mike Florio that the notion that Aaron Rodgers was told he'll be traded was unequivocally false. It's a big word, unequivocally. And the Packers claim that they weren't even aware. They were not even aware that Aaron Rodgers felt this way. So we have a he said situation with no one really putting their name on it. The allegation that someone around Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Rodgers himself leaked that he was told he was going to be traded. Now we have someone of some stature with the Packers who is claiming that it's unequivocally false. Someone is Pinocchio on this one. So let us discuss now the toss-up question. You've got Aaron Rodgers over here. You've got the Green Bay Packers over here, the front office of the Packers. Who is not telling the truth? Who is not telling the truth? And I am looking at you, number 12, Aaron Rodgers. So my views on this, you've got Humdinger, Axiom, and Hookie. And we will combine all of these things together. Now, first of all, it is never comfortable to side with management. I realize that's what I'm doing. So right off the top, I might have lost you that I am on the side of the front office in Wisconsin, but we have weighed the evidence that is available to us at this time, and I am leaning, the scales of justice are leaning towards the Green Bay front office here, that they are the ones that are being more truthful. That Aaron Rodgers is guilty of exaggeration. He exaggerated the nature of the talks that took place. Now, we don't doubt that there were conversations that went back and forth. Words were exchanged. Ideas were floated. However, that's a big leap to get to the point where a formal promise was given that Rodgers would be traded. That sounds like a cockamamie approach to this. And plus, it's meaningless unless you get it in writing. And even when you get it in writing, it's often meaningless. So did Aaron Rodgers get the Packer front office to sign a piece of paper saying we're going to trade you? No. Why would the Packers do that? We believe that Aaron Rodgers is guilty of a humdinger of an overstatement, right? That he overstated the conversations that had that took place. And Rodgers is clouding the issue here with a dirty trick. He's trying to find every dirty trick he can to activate the old escape hatch out of Green Bay. And he's raking the GM, Brian Gutekunst, over the coals through his buddies in the media. This guy lied to me. I'm Aaron Rodgers. Defend my honor, you media stooge. And they run to defend Aaron Rodgers. They run to their phones and to their microphones to do that. Now, secondly, keep in mind, this does not mean, while I am siding with Green Bay, it does not mean that the Packer front office are innocent little lambs. They're not. All right. Both parties have been hemming and hawing, which I love as a talk show host. It's great for guys like me. I don't know if I'd feel the same way if I owned stock in the Packers. But my hypothesis is that Green Bay was trying to calm Aaron Rodgers' anxiety. So in an effort to pacify his delicate ego, he's a delicate little flower, they used hypothetical scenarios that could lead to a trade. Could is a weasel word. Remember, the Mahler axiom of life. The Mahler axiom of life. There are three sides to every story. There's your side, there's their side, and there's the truth. And this is a truism, right? As we have all learned the last couple of years, everyone's eyes and ears see and hear things in unique ways. And there are many different interpretations depending on which tribe you are a member of. Aaron Rodgers is the player's tribe, and the Packers are the organizational tribe in this little play that we're doing here. So they have a different perspective, and it's much the way I look at tweets. You know, I read them certain ways because it's like art. My interpretation of them, what was meant by it, is different than yours. Or looking at a piece of a Monet. You look at a Monet, you look at one person looks at it one way, the other person looks at it a different way. But Aaron Rodgers is obviously still steaming mad over Jordan Love. How could you trade to get Jordan Love in the draft in 2020? That is an act of betrayal. Betrayal of Aaron Rodgers? All right, final thought. So Mr. Rodgers' neighborhood is trying his darndest to curry public support from you. He's trying to get your support. We've talked about this on a semi-regular basis, but Rodgers pulled out an assortment of current and former teammates. He's doing it the passive-aggressive way. It's not like Aaron Rodgers is holding daily news briefings at the West Wing of the White House. Instead, what he is doing is using his buddies who he's played with either currently or in the past to have them relay the talking points memo that he's trying to get out. You know, Player X says Aaron Rodgers is not happy. He wants out. And then this other guy over here says, no, Aaron Rodgers, maybe he'll stick around. They can patch things up. And so it goes like that. Now, keep in mind, we are still roughly 60 days away. There are 60 shopping days left until training camp opens up in the middle of July. We don't have the exact reporting dates, but it's usually right around July 15th is when training camp opens up for most teams in the NFL. So expect the posturing to continue. Green Bay has a chokehold in terms of leverage. It's the game show. I used to love this game show when I was a kid. Let's make a deal, right? Aaron can swallow his pride and play under his current contract, but that would mean capitulating to the Packer front office. And the indicators say that that horse has left the barn. And might as well close the barn door at this point because that horse isn't coming back. Now, this means, if he's not willing to do that the only tangible option for Aaron Rodgers is truancy, that he's going to have to play hooky from training camp. And that would be a very expensive decision. If you remember the old game show, I guess it's back on now. I watched the original. Let's Make a Deal. On that show, when you make a bad deal, you know what they say? You got zonked. You don't want to get zonked. Not gronked, zonked. So Aaron Rodgers, I've done the math on this. Now, he could lose his salary if he doesn't report for the year. He misses the entire year. He'd lose $14.7 million. All right, so that's off the table. He would then, based on the contractual language, have to write a check for $23 million in unearned signing bonus moolah. But wait, there's more. He'd also have to give up almost $7 million in a roster bonus that he got this offseason. So based on the back of the napkin Maller math, if I am correct on this, if you say Rodgers misses the entire year, then he would lose in the neighborhood of $45 million by the time you crunch the numbers. That's a pretty expensive neighborhood. That's like that's Bel Air where LeBron lives, or Beverly Hills, or somewhere like that. I mean, that's a pretty pricey neighborhood. Now, let's say LeBron comes in late. Now, he's going to lose a percentage of that. I said LeBron. Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers comes in late, he's going to lose a percentage of that money, but obviously not all 45 million smackaroos. So that is the latest, and we will monitor nonstop, around the clock. Literally, we're here around the clock. The latest developments in the world of Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. We'll take your calls, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. If you would like to be part of the program, we'll run through some calls here momentarily. And straight ahead, if you're going to get into a fight, you got to try to avoid having a glass chin. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Damn! Friday!
Este! Y quita el minuto, me decime que le viene esto más directo. Y quita el metro.
Thank God it's Friday. Then I saw her boobs. Now I'm a believer.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. Some call him the call screener. And he does man the phones, but he is, more importantly, the liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop the Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan. It stands for a Bronco fan. Get it? And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Oh, big revelation last hour, if you want to hear it on the podcast. Cowboy in Windsor, who's been calling me longer than anybody. Cowboy... He was a middle-aged guy when he started calling. He's getting older now, and he called up out of the blue and revealed a big medical ailment that he suffered a few weeks ago. And Skeeter in Montana, another one of our regulars, he said back in 1993, he had his retina taken out, he said. How about that? And he had a stroke to his left eye. He said he's legally blind. Okay. Interesting. Chet in San Diego says, Ben, why would black-eyed Susan be in bad taste? He says, my eye color is now brown, but it used to be dark in my youth. People thought it was black. Chet, it's a joke, Chet. I'm mocking how people are going around thinking everything's racist. So that's all it is. Of course it's not racist. Jeez. My God. Do we have to explain that? Come on. All right. We will have the story of the glass chin. We'll get to that coming up in a couple minutes, but to the phones we go, and let's say hello to Hayes in Minneapolis. Hello, Hayes.
Hey, Ben. It's great to be on. Hey, I just want to say about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing, I just hope he gets out of the NFC as a Viking.
Well, of course, because you're biased. You want to see the Vikings win the division, and if Rodgers is gone... And the Bears are starting Andy Dalton. The Lions are starting Jared Goff. Even the Vikings couldn't screw that up.
Honestly speaking.
Now, Hayes, more importantly, wait a minute, Hayes.
Yes.
Are you going to allow Roberto, one of my producers here, to sully your good name? Because Roberto, he indicated that your calls are played out. that you've lost your mojo, Hayes, as a caller.
Hey,
how do you respond to that claim?
All right, so what happened last night was, I usually don't like to take a lot of phone time with you guys because I want other people to have a chance to talk. But so if you remember the first time I called about a month and a half ago, I mentioned, we bury and wash my people. And you said, your people, are we going to know your people? I didn't answer it back then. But so it's like a private funeral center.
Yeah.
That we pretty much work with like people who share a certain religion, who want to be buried around other people who have the same belief as them. And there's three of us.
So in all of Minneapolis, there's three of you guys?
No, there's three of us in that work together.
Just together, yeah. I got you.
And the thing about it is, the guy who actually came up with this business, I ran into him in high school, my final year in high school, and he actually brought that idea to me. Many years later, we got together, and...
You guys are living in mansions, and you're very wealthy now.
Hey. No, I'm not. I don't live in mansions. I live in an apartment. But
wait a minute, you said you made $5,000 a week or something like that.
No, so it's $5,000 to like bury somebody, and then the expenses, taking a body here, dressing it up.
That's
about another $5,000, and we split it up 35% each.
Okay.
Yeah, 35% each. So if we're working on three or four people per week, in each of those, and about 12,000 comes from it.
Yeah. Okay. I got you. All right.
Hey, man.
Out of just for the math here, so out of you get 35%. So out of 5,000, you get $1,750, right?
No, I do not. I easily take home about $3,000 or $4,000 a week.
Okay, so we're down from five to three or four. I got you.
Three or
all right,
four.
Well, that's a very good defense, Hayes. That's a solid defense.
Hey, that's not why I called.
Oh, you didn't call about that?
Okay, yeah, no, I didn't call about that.
Yeah, all right.
So, Ben, I was driving today. I was driving 4 hours.
Okay, that's a long drive.
I was driving 4 hours, and when someone's driving that long, it makes you think. And I was thinking about how much I appreciate radio stations, and I get to listen to them. And I was asking myself, man, what is your favorite radio station? I said to myself, it's Ben Maller's show.
Wow, thank you.
And the thing about your show is,
by you.
The thing about your show is it has the it factor that you cannot teach. The it factor.
That's right. We got the it factor, Eddie. We've got the it factor.
Thank you.
And that is bona fide and verified from Hayes, a consumer.
And one last thing I should say, I dare say this is possibly the best show in America.
Well, no, you put a qualifier in there. Take that possibly away. That's a qualifier. But thank you, Hayes. I appreciate it, buddy. There you go. Hayes breaking down the funeral business. He and a couple of buddies, they split everything. They do all the work, and they split it all up, and that's how he makes his money. Let's go to Tammy in Montana, who's next, the fan favorite.
Hello, where are the white women at?
Montana. Hello, Tammy.
Hey, Ben. So I have heard that the Fifth Hour podcast guest is absolutely amazing. I'm very excited.
Don't start with that.
Well,
That weasel put you up to this. That little weasel put you up to that. Don't do that.
Well, I also heard that your younger, handsome, noble wingman may be taking you to Hollywood. So does this mean movies and sitcoms?
No. I will barely, if anything comes of that, I will barely be able to get a haircut with that money.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're very successful. You know you have it in you, so don't sell yourself short.
Thank you. Is there anything else he asked you to say while you're on the air, this particular person who lives west of the 405.
Oh, no one puts me up to anything, Ben.
There's no email. Hey, can you talk about, or text message? Can you talk about this, that, and the other thing just to annoy Ben? There's none of that? Because it certainly seems none. Like there's some of that.
None. Ever.
None at all. Okay.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thank you, Tammy. There she goes. Yeah.
Gross.
Disgusting. Can you imagine? I mean, gag on putting people up to call the show.
David Gaffigan.
Yeah, Gaffigan had, you know, Queen Roxanne and Tammy in Montana. I mean, two lovely women and all that, and friends of the show, but what are you doing?
It's kind of embarrassing.
It's sad. It's sad. It's pathetic. It's unbecoming. It's all of that. Anyway, we got to get this glass chin. So we had a major haymaker at a baseball game. We take you out to Denver, Colorado, Coors Field, in the crowd on a Wednesday fight night. It was actually fight afternoon. And a San Diego Padre fan. Was he wearing that? I think he's wearing that Fernando Tatis jersey, it looks like. Fernando Tatis Jr. there. He's got
the
Cocker
Brown jersey.
He's got the brown poop jersey the Padres like so much. And he comes over there. He gets into this dust-up with this Rocky fan. Now, the Rocky fan's an older guy. And he's wearing, like, he's got a baseball cap on and kind of like a sweater type thing. And this guy walks over, right? I've seen the video. He takes two steps and bam! Right to the face! Right to the side of the face! This guy drops down from that haymaker like he had died. I thought the guy had died. And I don't know if you've seen the second angle. There's two angles now. Somebody posted a video on TikTok where I always go there. And
yeah,
they
close
posted,
up one is better.
Yeah, that's the money one. The TikTok one is even better than the original one. And this guy's, it looks like his eyeballs go flying off. The first time I saw it, oh my God, the guy's eyeballs came popped out of his head. But I think it was his glasses he was wearing. And they came flying out. The guy got knocked out. And one of the great punches. This guy should be in boxing, this Padre fan. He's lucky he didn't kill that guy. Imagine, that guy could have been dead. One punch, boom.
And the other guy didn't press charges. I wonder why. What did he say?
Yeah. Well, or does the skinny guy, does the guy, the Rocky fan, maybe have some stuff that he doesn't want? You know, if he presses charges, maybe they'll start snooping around in his life, and maybe he's got some stuff that he wants to avoid. Or as you said, Roberto, he said the amazing combination of words that, I don't know that there's anything you can say, though, that would allow you and take you out of jeopardy.
If you slow down the video while the dude's walking up to the other guy, you slow it down and you can see, like, one of the females that's sitting down there. She has her head turned. She's just like, wow, like what? Like as that guy's walking, so he obviously said something.
Yeah. Tremendous form. The first thing that I noticed also was the form of the Padre fan. It was a great punch, and he had his thumb out. You remember? You know, we learned this as kids, as men. When you throw a punch, women should learn this too, and they probably do. But when you throw a punch, you don't want to put your thumb underneath, you know, where your fingers are ahead of your thumb when you throw a punch. When you make a fist, you know how you make a fist?
Yeah.
You want to leave your thumb up. The reason you do that is because when you cold cock someone, you punch them. If your thumb is down, you might break your thumb by the force of your own punch. But if your thumb's up, the chances of you breaking your thumb go down tremendously.
So, yeah.
It's a little life hack there that I like to pass on. That guy's the Padre fan. Talk about being lucky. He probably freaked out. He thought, oh my God, I am going to go to jail. I'm going to be charged with assault. And he get charged.
No one deserves to get punched like that, obviously. But
no,
that guy
no.
must have said something.
Yeah, well, whatever he said, he ain't going to say that again. I wonder if he broke a tooth or something, or his jaw.
Yeah, he does. You see that? His glasses flying off of his face.
Yeah. isn't that wild, that angle? It's like, man.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. And then everyone jumped on this guy. The other Rocky fans are like, we gotta get this guy under control. Man,
nobody gets randomly chosen to just get punched in the face like that, you know? This doesn't just happen that way.
I'm watching the game. He walks 1, 2, 3 steps. He said, come on, man. Come on, bro. And then boom.
Punch him
right there.
Obviously, he says something, and then nobody
hook,
and then nobody gets randomly chosen to get their ass kicked in the parking lot. No, if you get your ass kicked in the parking lot, it's because you said something inside the stadium, And the person
is that the code? Is that the code, Roberto? That there's payback once you leave the stadium?
Yeah, there? Exactly. There's people that can actually control themselves and say, "All right, I'm going to get you when I go outside when there's people are not around." So it's like,
well, you would admit though, Roberto. I mean, there are some gangster elements though that go to these games.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you know, they take advantage of their the laundry they're wearing
exactly.
To settle some scores.
100%.
Exactly. Anyway. Ah, that's the breakdown. So I scored the fight. No need to score it. It's a knockout.
It's a knockout, yeah.
but at least it was a relatively even matchup. The Padre fan was a little heavier. He looked like a little heavier and a little bit taller. But it's not like there was a huge...
And that, that Rockies fan needs to choose his friends wise better.
Yeah, the other guy came over and said, "What are you doing?"
You know, put his arms his up. Friends, what are you like, doing? Didn't come up. And, like, yeah. You got to get new friends, buddy.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I mentioned the Heat 76ers game. Interesting night for Udonis Haslem, the veteran.
It is interesting to know.
Of the Miami Heat. He had not played all season, and he checked into the game. So that made him 18 seasons with the Miami Heat that he has played, you know, at least one game, all with one team. But he wasn't around very long. He got into it with Dwight Howard and got tossed out of the game. So he was in the game for 3 minutes. He had 4 points, a rebound, and bye-bye.
Wow. He played 2 minutes and 40 seconds, Eddie. Is he like the mini Minoso of the Miami Heat? That's an outdated reference, but you get it, Eddie. You're old. Are they just going to keep bringing him back every year so he can get a game in?
I'll put it this way. Pat Riley, even though he had a mask on, you could tell he was smiling from ear to ear. He loved this. And afterwards, Eric Spoelstra was excited about this. They loved that Udonis Haslem stood up to Dwight Howard. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah. So, hey, man, when do you think these sports leagues are going to say, okay, we can get rid of the mask now because of the CDC? You know, most of these guys have been vaccinated. So what do you think is going to happen there?
I don't know. The Yankees.
I was watching the Suns game with the Blazers, and they're wearing masks and all that. But
I mean, the Yankees are having some kind of COVID issue right now. So
It doesn't. The vaccine doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It's just going to be you won't even most of the time know you have it. So I read Bill Maher has it.
Yeah, I saw that he canceled
He's asymptomatic or whatever. Yeah. So
who?
Isaac, some comedian.
Some guy.
Never heard of him.
Oh no.
He's a little guy. He's got that Napoleon complex thing going on.
I saw him in person at a... I can't say this.
Why not, Eddie? Come on. Eddie. Come on. I saw him. He was a douche. I saw him at a Laker game years ago.
We were going to the movies, and he was actually waiting in line to go to the movies, just like a normal person.
Okay. Well, that's like a nice thing to do.
But, yeah, the woman he was with, I...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? You were not impressed with the...
No, I was.
Oh, you were.
Oh, okay. Yeah. What are you getting at, Eddie?
Yeah, what are you getting at?
What are you implying here, Eddie? That
I think he was there for leisure, and she was probably there working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Professional, you know.
I love Bill Maher.
I like a professional woman, Eddie. I don't know what you're talking about. Alf the Alien Opiner from Springfield, Mass. writes, and he says, "Ben, it sounds like Gagon has the female royalty of the Maller Militia tied up in his basement and is forcing them against their will to make hostage statements." Well, you heard what you heard. I heard the same thing. Justin in Cincinnati says, "It's really sad that Gascon's Venmoing Tammy money to call into the show and wash his balls."
Uh-oh.
Well, again, no lies detected. No lies detected on any of that.
My lover balls.
Bam Bam Cam is upset with Hayes. He says, "I am convinced that Hayes is a damn liar. Let's see the pay stubs." He says, "I would wash a dead man's ass for $5,000 a week." Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah. You say that until you're pushed in to do it there. Man. Double O Mexican has broken down the fight between the Rocky fan and the Padre fan in Denver. And he says, as an expert fan himself, he says the second angle looks like the guy was definitely talking trash. He used a different word. Yeah, that second angle is pretty, pretty good. Pretty, pretty good. All right, back to the phones we go. And who do we have? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let's say hello to Rachel in Montebello. Hello, Rachel.
Ben, our wildly gifted Fox Sports Radio guru. How are you, Ben?
If I was any better, I'd be a box of chocolates. But no, I wouldn't, because that would be my belly. I can't do that. But, anyway, yeah.
I wanted to wish a speedy recovery to Cowboy John Brett. It's a very serious thing to have a stroke. My father had one, and it's very difficult to overcome. Best wishes to him.
Well, look at that. We have something in common. My dad had it before. He passed away earlier this year, but he had a stroke. I mean, he didn't die from that, but he had a stroke a couple years back.
Yeah. Yes. Well, my dad didn't die from it. He just had to go through.
Wasn't the same. Yeah. I hear you.
But I have a heard on the radio that if you're vaccinated with the COVID vaccine, that you have a chance to win $1 million if you are a resident of Ohio. I wonder if Justin in Cincinnati or just Josh can elaborate on that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's
Justin was already vaccinated before that promotion happened, so
he's gonna get vaccinated again. I think he's gonna go back and get another one and see.
It doesn't count then if he got vaccinated before.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, you heard about it too?
He sent me an article about it.
Oh,
Dilly Dilly.
Yeah, he's very, you know how Justin is, Rachel. He's very upset that he's not, because he feels like it's against him that he won't get the money now because he's not qualified or something. But just Josh and Dick and Dayton, right? Those guys can cash in on that.
Well, yeah, there's a good chance that they could win something. $1 million.
Dick won't be denied.
That's right. He's going to get that $1 million.
And Dick too. Dick and Dayton.
Yes, that's right.
He has a chance.
Yeah, who doesn't love Dick?
All right, calm down. All right, please. It's a
but
family.
But Ben, it's so exciting to hear about the monologues about the Dodgers that they're winning. After all, 2 games is better than.
Well, it's been 3 days since the Dodgers. Wait, 4 days, right? Because they were off. Were they off on Monday? I think they were.
They were off today, and they're going to be playing the Marlins in town.
The Marlins stink. They'll beat the Marlins. Come on. All right, I got to go. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, bye bye. There she goes, our friend Rachel in Montebello. How dare you?
Do you think when Dick gets injected, he'll swell up?
You get that, Robert?
I got my first shot earlier today.
Oh, you did?
I did, yes.
Did. Which one did you get?
Pfizer.
I did. Oh, okay. Yep. All right. And you're here. Eddie took off from work the day he got his thing.
I am here. Okay.
Second vaccine.
Oh, the second one.
I'm very tired, but that's pretty much it.
Well, look what time it is.
Yeah, I should have took advantage of that.
Well, no, normally I'm wide awake right now. This is.
You should have waited until Friday to get it, Coop. You could have done it on like a Friday. Well, I guess it is Friday, but Friday night or Friday afternoon or something like that. You know.
And ruin my weekend?
You're like Shaq. I got hurt on company time. I'm gonna do this on company time. Here's the instant trivia. Max Muncy recently became the first Dodger cleanup batter to have 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 runs scored since blank. Again, earlier this week, Max Muncy becoming the first Dodger cleanup batter to have 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 runs scored since blank. That's the instant trivia, the answer, and Maller to the third degree next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Third degree coming up. Here's the instant trivia. Max Muncy recently became the first Dodgers cleanup batter to have 2 hits, 2 walks, and 3 runs scored since blank. That is the question. What is the answer? National J-Day is going with Kirk Gibson as his answer. Big Rig Rob says the answer is Mini Minoso. David says it's the iconic Zach Wheat as his selection. Buford T. Justice, guessed by Matt in Indy. Sean Green, tossed out by John. Timmy Toledo says Roberto Clemente is the way to go. Lizzo from Rob the Goatman. Mike Piazza from Hobby Bobby. Pedro Guerrero, guessed by Steve, the Padre guy. Who else do we have? Page down. Neffy Perez from the Late Night Drug Tester. Can't read that one on the air. Justin in Cincinnati going with Rachel in Montebello, your homegirl. Who else do we have? JJ from Renton says, I love Rachel in Montebello, and he wants to play Roberto this weekend on Madden. Chip Hale, guessed by Rob in Minnesota. Yasiel Puig, tossed out by Just Josh. Steve Garvey from Manic Mike. Hiram Boca Chica, good name, by the Grill Sergeant, as he sent that one in. Andre Ether, guessed by Matt, the Warrior Raider A's fan. Mitch Webster from Chris in Des Moines. Eddie, what's the answer, Eddie?
I swear to God I was going to say Hiram Boca Chica.
No way, really?
I swear.
Great minds think alike. Look at that. You and the Grill Sergeant.
Yeah, let's go with Geronimo Barroa.
That's another good name. Oh, Geronimo Barroa. No, that's incorrect. The correct answer, Jeff Kent. Way back in 2005 was the last Dodger cleanup hitter to do what Max Muncy did earlier this week.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
A man who is falling asleep. The Koopaloop.
Draymond Green was being interviewed this week when he was asked about the Warriors being underdogs and if this year is We Believe 2.0. Now, Green scoffed at that and said there aren't any, they aren't any We Believe 2.0 because we have effing Steph Curry on our team. Ben, should the Warriors not be looked at as underdogs?
No, this is a bad take. Draymond Green is stuck in this bubble. It ain't 2015, 2016, 2017, or 2018. That window is not there. It doesn't exist right now. The Warriors are, they're about as dangerous as a mosquito, right? I mean, they've been up and down. They haven't played well against the good teams. They have like a 14-20 record against good teams. They have a great record against bad teams. Steph Curry is good. He can win a couple games, but that's about it. Next!
Now, speaking of the NBA playoffs, it seems we might end up in a situation where some teams are playing to full crowds while others still play to a limited capacity. Ben, do you think this will make a home court advantage more stark for select teams?
I do not. As much as I love fans at games, they rarely, if ever, actually they affect the outcome very rarely is what I'm trying to say. If a man could speak English, that would help. And there are some players that will benefit, but generally I think it's a non-factor. Next!
Now, Tony Romo again attempted to qualify for the U.S. Open, but failed to even make it from the local to the sectional qualifier. Now, Ben, I know that you have golfed, and you even own your own set of golf clubs. Could you ever see it being one of your main hobbies after you retire?
Oh, God, no. No. I'd pull out the last 8 hairs I have left on my head if I had to play golf all the time. I would rather pick up the mandolin or play the piano like I did when I was a kid. No, it's too frustrating. Golf's good when you're working, not now. How'd we do, Coop?
You passed this edition.
There it is. That's a winner! Whee!